Looking at 81 degrees. Some bright sunshine out there. 590 WKZO, and it's the Jeremy Lawrence Show. Glad that you have joined us for hour number two. And we have talked about all sorts of things. And we would love to chat with you about some things. Of course, as we talk about various things, you can be a part of the program in one of a couple of ways. First of all, you can give us a call, 877-382-4280. And locally, the number is 382-4280, also 80373. And you could text us and be a part of the program that way as we roll along through the day. Now, some news that broke a little while ago. You've heard about the prison food contractor, a lot of the different things that were happening with that company when it came to taking care of food at prisons in Michigan. Well, they're being fined $200,000. That's an announcement that Governor Rick Snyder will be making, that the state is going to fine them, attach more strings to oversight, but the contract with Aramark would not be terminated at this time. The company also had a fine back in March of $98,000. The state is saying, the state and Aramark both are saying that the company was not necessarily responsible for some of the things that went on. Specifically, apparently they had bugs and rodents relatively close to the food. They said, yeah, that's not their thing. I think the thing they've mainly gotten in trouble for is some of the interactions with workers and prisoners at prisons, and that's a problem and continues to be a problem. I have no doubt with this particular announcement that this will begin to be used, as it already has been used, as a quote-unquote political football in the governor's race. I think, you know, Governor Snyder and his people are likely to have looked into it. This is what we came to the conclusion of. We still think they can do a great job, et cetera, et cetera. But we're going to be watching them close. Mark Schauer's side of things, I think they're going to look at this and go, he should have cut the contract. That's going to be one of the first things I'll do when I'm elected. We'll cut that contract. We'll blah, 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 blah. I mean, you can kind of get the picture of where that's going to go. And it's funny getting into the governor's race, looking at some of the things that are happening. First of all, you've got, I mean, the Aramark thing, I think that's going to be part of the story as things move forward. Another thing that you're hearing is, and you heard it in the news at the top of the hour, that the Republican Party in the state has lodged a complaint with the Bureau of Elections claiming that Lisa Brown, candidate for lieutenant governor on the Democratic side, has not formed a campaign committee and has not disclosed any campaign fundraising and spending activity. Now, one of the things you're hearing from the Schauer campaign is, really, she has no one's running against her. Why is this a big issue? And I think, you know, the thing that could end up being a big issue on this, and I don't know that it will be, but it could be a big issue, is that state law says if you're going to run for state office, you have to form an official campaign committee with the Secretary of State's office, and you have to do it within 10 days of becoming a candidate. That's the law. Now, they say it's not a closely followed statute for lieutenant governor candidates. Nevertheless, that is what the law says. I think probably the best thing in this case for the Schauer campaign, to what they should do is, oops, we'll take care of this right away. And, you know, we'll take care of any fines that come in and that kind of thing. We'll take care of this. Oops, we are sorry. We're going to handle this. Won't happen again. I think that would play better with voters than just saying, why does this matter? Why does it matter if we follow the law? I'm bothered by that statement. Now, I ultimately will say this. I think this blows over. This is not as huge an issue as what Republicans are making it. But I would say this. It is also not as small an issue as what Democrats are making it. I think if there's a law there, you got to follow it. Plain and simple. And if you don't, well, there are consequences with that, and they need to be taken care of. Now, looking at some of the different polling data that has come out, and it depends on which poll that you look at. Marketing Resource Group came out with a poll that in the race that has the race pretty well knotted up. It says Rick Snyder is polling at 44.6%, Mark Schauer 44.3%. Now, no doubt this one is going to do well with fundraising, at least on the Democratic side, and by all rights probably should on the Republican side as well. If you look at some of the other things out there, some of the other polling data that is out there right now, you see that there are some different things there to look at. For instance, Mitchell Research came out. Now, that particular poll that I was telling you about, Marketing Resource Group, they conducted a poll, 600 likely voters between July 26th and 30th. Mitchell Research did theirs on the 5th. 626 likely voters, margin of error of 5 points, says that Snyder is up by 5 points. Now, in this particular thing, you know, they'll say 5 points, so it could be that it's a dead heat, or it could be Snyder is up by 10 points. And I think 5 points is probably about where it is, at least with that one. Now, on the Mitchell Research poll, this is something that they do every now and again. They did one before, early July. Snyder was up by 4. Now he's up by 5. And if you look back, Rasmussen Reports has Snyder up by 3. And then they've got the that research group, they're up by 1. Now, that is a Republican-based poll, so that is an interesting point to this as well. All told, Real Clear Politics, which takes all these polls and averages them together and puts a spread on it, 3.5% lead for Rick Snyder right now. Now, I have said many a time, looking at this campaign, that, you know what, it's close now. Rick Snyder hasn't campaigned yet. And he really hasn't. I mean, you know, the primary just took place. He's not done a lot. He's talked a little here and a little there. I think what you're going to see, you know, you've got the rest of August, you've got September, you've got October, and then a little bit in November, you're going to see the governor campaigning. I don't think, you know, it takes me back a little bit. Years ago, that Gina Davis TV show, Commander in Chief, she was talking about running for re-election, but when she runs, she's not going to campaign. She's just going to be president. Well, that was nice on television. And I don't know that that would have worked out had they gone on with that show. Of course, it got canceled. And I don't think just going on with the business of being governor and, you know what, we're not going to campaign, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that Governor Snyder is planning on not campaigning at this point. But I think for many people, they're starting to wonder, all right, when is he going to hit the campaign trail? When is he going to start sharing with voters what's going on from his perspective? I think once he does that, once he starts getting the word out there, and we all see that, you're going to see these polls turn out a little differently. I do believe that. And I think that's been the one thing, is that Mark Schauer has been on the offensive. Now, here's the other part. Snyder is certainly tripping over his own feet if he has not challenged some of these things that Mark Schauer has said. And he really hasn't. So I think in that case, he's kind of let Schauer have the spotlight, as it were, in terms of campaigning. The other side of that is it's a whole lot easier to have the spotlight campaigning when you're not actually, quote-unquote, governing. So I think that's what we're seeing here in this. I'll be interested to see where it goes in the coming days and weeks, but I do think at some point soon, Governor Snyder is going to get out there, and it'll get to the point where we're like, okay, we get it. We understand. Now, if you want to be a part of the program and chat with us about this stuff, you can do so by getting in touch at 877-382-4280. 382-4280, also 803-73 if you want to text us and be a part of the program that way. Let's head to the phone lines right now, where Gary is standing by in Niles. Hi, Gary. Happy Friday.
Oh, well, thank you. Happy Friday to you. Well, I think the October surprise in the governor's race is back to the prisons. is Mark Schauer is going to blame that prison escape from Ionia on the food business, because I believe the guy stole a uniform, white uniform in the white snow, and that's how he snuck out at night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was big news in this area from the Indiana stations, because the car hijacked a car and then switched cars in Elkhart County and was caught in LaPorte County, Indiana. So it was all over the news here and still is. I don't know if they've even extradited him back yet. If they have, it's just been recently. So if you can blame that on the prison food contractor, the fine doesn't matter. If you're letting murderers escape and hijacking women in their cars, that's going to.
Well, there's the thing, Gary. Though, I mean, if this is something that is common knowledge, and I remember when that story broke, and it certainly was common knowledge. We were talking about it here at the station and a lot of media outlets. If that's pretty well known, all things considered, how is that an October surprise?
Well, it's forgotten. But it's going to come back up. I'd forgotten about it until it just hit the news a couple weeks ago. The guy's still in LaPorte. He hasn't been, he's fighting extradition.
Mm-hmm.
So if he gets extradited in October, that'll make the news again. But that's why it's a surprise, because it's clearly, Bill Clinton's affair with Monica Lewinsky is old news, but that got big play a couple of months ago. In other words, you can recycle the news like you recycle candidates.
Well, I hear you on that, and that might have some impact. I don't know. I mean, you have to figure out, all right, was Aramark to blame for that, or was that a security issue as well? And that's a totally different story if it was a security issue, which it was part of.
I get your Kalamazoo news on my cable, and they pretty much said, they said it on the news that, it was the fault of the food service thing that he either worked there or stole a uniform, and the white uniform is what, now that, of course, that's what the security said. He slipped past the security at night, to get to a hole in the fence that he knew about. So the security blamed it on the food service. Now maybe the food service has got a defense that they haven't used yet.
Well, I don't know, but I think it still comes out as part, that was partially a security deal, because if he slipped past security, then somebody wasn't doing their job there. So, I'm looking at this playing devil's advocate to a certain degree, because I think there's enough blame to spread around on that one.
Well, like I said, that's my prediction for October surprise.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see how it turns out. Maybe it'll be a bigger deal than what we think it is. Thanks, Gary. I appreciate the call. All right. You want to be a part of it? You can do just like Gary did and give us a call, 382-4280 locally, 877-382-4280. What do you think about that? With this prison escapee and all of that, is that going to play a role in the governor's race? Really hasn't to this point, not to a great degree, just simply because I think a lot of what you've seen from the Mark Schauer campaign has been more about, well, we don't like Rick Snyder. We don't like what he's done, and we plan on repealing everything he's done. And it's a generalization, and I know it's not totally accurate, but that's a lot of what you get when you read the plans that come out of the Schauer campaign. So I don't know. Will they turn to that sort of thing? Will that be a quote-unquote October surprise? I don't know that I necessarily buy that one. But I will admit this. The Aramark decision, I think that will come into play, that they got fined instead of having their contract terminated. It's a tough thing. It's a tough thing having a private contractor involved with prison food, but it's also not unprecedented that because it happens in other states, it happens in other areas, and it's not a terribly unusual thing. It just looks like there were mistakes made and things need to be dealt with in a better way. So it'll be interesting to see how that turns out when it comes to the governor's race, whether that makes the polls tighten anymore. I think the one thing to note on the polls as you look through it, you have not seen any of the polls lately have Mark Schauer come out on top. Now, if that changes, of course, you'll hear it here, and we'll analyze that and tell you about it. But I think you still have consistently seen Rick Snyder on top in this race. So it might be a little closer than we all think, but it might end up being just what we think, and that is that Rick Snyder gets reelected. I don't know. Just reading the tea leaves right now, a lot can change between here and November. You know, that's why we actually vote on these things. Well, we're going to continue ahead with the show. We want to have you be here and be a part of it. Libertarians, has their moment come? We'll talk about that with you as we continue ahead. Degrees in Kalamazoo. It's 590 WKZO. The Jeremy Lawrence Show, 4:27 in the afternoon. This portion of the program brought to you by Bronson, named one of America's 100 best hospitals for joint replacement by HealthGrades. Learn more at bronsonhealth.com/ortho. And this one, I want to spend a little time on this, and so we'll do this definitely through a couple of the next break, without a doubt. The New York Times approached an article, and I've had the chance to skim over the article. I've not read every last word of it because it is a rather lengthy piece. But they ask the question, has the libertarian moment finally arrived? And I think it's an interesting question. Libertarians for years, if you hear them talk about their candidates for office and you hear them talk about their beliefs and that kind of thing. They talk about, well, you know what? A majority of Americans believe what we believe. And ask them about any of their candidates, and you usually will get the statement, well, if as many people that say that they would vote for our candidate would actually do it, they would win. Meaning that they have a tough time getting people to turn out. Now, I think to this point, you haven't seen a whole lot of libertarian anything. I mean, I can remember libertarians have been around for as long as I can remember. I remember as a kid hearing about them. But I think what you've got now is, you know, things have been on, what do you call, slow boil. For years you had, and you can even see that in various places, that people that still proudly display their Ron Paul for president bumper stickers. But it's not just Ron Paul. As you've got Ron Paul, Ted Cruz has made waves in the state of Texas. Justin Amash, certainly in the state of Michigan, although lately some of his comments have probably been what some people would call none too bright. And, of course, Rand Paul, who has basically rock star status. One prominent libertarian that says Rand Paul is to the libertarian movement what Pearl Jam is to rock. It's an interesting comparison, but I think it brings to bear the notion, is it time for the libertarian movement to finally blossom and finally arrive? That I'm not sure about. I don't know, but... And I think, you know, a lot of these people that I'm mentioning, you know, they've got libertarian leanings, but some of them, you know, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Ron Paul, still members of the Republican Party. And I think, you know, there's that sense that they've got some of the establishment behind them, per se. But then they don't always have some of the establishment behind them. So I'd love to get your thoughts on this as we continue ahead. The toll-free number is 877-382-4280. Locally, it's 382-4280 if you'd like to call in that way. 803-73 if you want to sound off via text. And we will share some of those texts and some of those phone calls as we continue ahead. The libertarian movement, is it time? Has it finally arrived? You think yes, no, or I don't know, the jury's still out. Give us a call. We'll continue talking about it on the Jeremy Lawrence Show right here on 590 WKZO. 590 WKZO. Jeremy Lawrence here with you. Heading through your afternoon. I'm talking about the libertarian movement. The New York Times asking in an article, has the libertarian moment finally arrived? There's been an awful lot of talk about that, particularly with libertarian-leaning politicians that are out there. And, you know, Rand Paul is a name that has been brought up. Of course, Ron Paul is, I mean, for years people have been following him, and he's had quite a following, and many others. So, you know, it's interesting. Does that mean that libertarians are finally going to get their say? Well, I don't know. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. 877-382-4280, 382-4280, also 80373 if you want to text us. And fittingly, joining us right now, Lawrence Winkie is calling in, and he is actually running as a libertarian for the state Senate. Lawrence, appreciate you calling in. Just to be fair, as you call in, I want to let people know that you are calling in just as an individual. It wasn't... Not that you're not welcome here. I just want to make it clear that we didn't line this up. So,
yes, I listen to your show quite regularly when I'm out doing my listening tour, like I am right now on Southwestage, and I thought it'd be a good opportunity for me to call in and talk about the libertarian part.
Now one thing with you know, because you made a very public split with the Republican Party, and this has been what, 3-4 months ago? I'm trying to remember.
Yes.
I guess, you know, when you look at that, do you feel like that, you know, since you are running as a libertarian, that you now have the ability to be elected as a libertarian?
Yes, I think the New York Times has got it right, and there is a movement towards libertarian-type candidates. And so, yes, I think there's a chance, but there aren't many libertarians that are elected across the country, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been a movement for many, many years. But I think the interesting thing is, and I'm looking over the piece here, you know, in the New York Times, they're talking about people like Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Ron Paul. I mean, these guys are all still in the Republican Party. I think maybe if you listen to some of them, they might say that, you know, it's better to be in a major party. I'm guessing you would probably disagree with that.
You know, to get elected, if that's your goal, then certainly to be in a major party makes it easier. I quit the Republican Party over two issues, and I'd be happy to talk about those if you want to. But certainly it's easier to win on the ballot if you're part of the two major parties.
Well, and I'll let you dig into those issues here in just a minute, but I did have a question for you. You know, because for a lot of people that run on the libertarian ticket, the idea is to get issues out there, let them be noticed a little bit more, shed some light on them. Let me just ask you this direct question, if I may. Is your goal to be elected as a libertarian?
Absolutely. And I'm working hard to do that.
Okay. All right. Since you brought it up, I mean, you did make the split with the Republican Party. You said it was over two issues. Feel free to chat about that. I know that gays and gay marriage was one of them.
Yes, that's one of the two reasons. I believe the Republican Party is wrong on the issue of how we treat our gay family members, friends, and neighbors. And it's been wrong for a long time, and it continues down that path, and soon the courts will correct that. But I no longer want to go to any Republican Party meetings where I hear this discrimination against our gay family members talk, and I've been to quite a few, and I just had enough of it. I wasn't going to go and applaud any more candidates who publicly advocated against our gay family members, and that was probably the most important reason for me to change from the Republican Party.
Now, along those lines, and if you've listened to this program for a while, you know, when we've talked about gay marriage and that kind of thing, one of the things that I've thought I think is a fantastic idea is the idea of government getting out of the business of saying that anybody's married. What would you say to that idea?
I think it's a great solution. It really is a fair, reasonable, constitutionally based solution. I think a lot of us would say that. I believe that's the Libertarian Party's platform. The Libertarian Party actually has a platform on that, on the issue, in support of everybody being treated the same way, the same rights. I think it's a very fair and good solution.
Okay. Now, you mentioned there was a second issue that caused the split. What was that?
You know, I have observed for the 15 years or so that I've been involved in government as to the compensation of government employees, and I'm one of them, or I was one of them.
Because you were a state rep at some point, weren't you?
Yes, I was a county commissioner in Kalamazoo for 8 years, county board chairman for 3 years, a state rep for 6 years, and then term limited out of office. So I know government better than most people do, up closer than most. And government employees are compensated well above the private sector people who do similar work. And there's been so many studies on this, I don't think it can even be argued with anymore, that government employees, due to a whole lot of reasons, have got pay and benefits that far exceeds the private sector. And I always thought that Republicans weren't part of that. But a few years ago, I realized that Republicans are just as much a part of looting the taxpayer treasury as what anybody else is. And I no longer want to be part of a group that's going to say one thing in their commercials for election and do something else after they get elected. And that, quite frankly, is what Republicans do. And I see it up close. I know the numbers. I've been in the meetings. I know it happens, and it needs to stop.
Okay. Lawrence Wakey has called in to the program as we've been talking about the libertarian movement, the New York Times saying that maybe the moment has finally arrived. Do you think maybe, you know, just looking at what they're citing and that kind of thing, though, that, you know, would the Libertarian Party consider it a victory if someone like, say, Rand Paul got elected president?
I think so. Rand Paul is probably the most well-known national figure who really is a libertarian. And quite frankly, I like Justin Amash. I've sent him some money a few years ago. I think these people made a good political decision for themselves, and they run as Republicans, but they really uphold the libertarian philosophy. And I don't know. I don't know how much chance Rand Paul's got of being elected, but he would be a libertarian president, the first one.
Okay. One final question, since you brought up Justin Amash and your support for him. With him making the recent statements that he did in his victory speech, would you support the way that he handled that, or would you have any other statements about that?
He made a mistake there. I thought when he made those comments, and he was under a lot of stress and been through a lot, and I do think the campaign against him was just absolutely unfair, and he had every right to make those statements, but he shouldn't have. It's still, when you're the victor, you still ought to be gracious. You still ought to take the phone call. He could have handled it better. My guess is he probably regrets it today. But when you've been put through what he was put through by somebody with a whole lot of money, it can make you make your nerves on edge. And I believe his were.
Okay. All right. Well, Lawrence Wakey, you're running for the state Senate seat, running up against Margaret O'Brien and Sean McCann. And certainly you are welcome on this program anytime you'd like to call in.
Yeah, thank you. And Mike Stampfler is running as a libertarian as well for Margaret O'Brien's seat. So we've got literally two libertarians on the ballot for, I think, the first time in a long time in Kalamazoo. Who are reasonably well-known and have a good chance of being elected.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for your call today. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Jeremy.
And libertarianism, I guess, you know, I would, and given some of the statements that that Lawrence Wakey made there, I think he feels like, yeah, I mean, maybe this is the time libertarians will start to be elected. I don't know that... without some sort of major party backing, I don't know that it's going to happen. That's just my angle on it, just watching the way things are. And here's the other part of it, is while the Libertarian Party could see some increased support, It's a party that doesn't generally organize very well. And I think, you know, that's based on the principles that they believe in, certainly. But, you know, it is intriguing to see a lot of the attention surrounding this. And I think it is a moment when you look at what libertarians stand for, which is basically the idea of, you know, get the government out of pretty much everything. And I won't say absolutely everything, because obviously government is important for certain things. But the idea of less government to the extreme, I guess. You know, there's a lot of people that do not trust the government. And we've talked about it in this program before, when you've got Star Wars characters like Darth Vader and Jar Jar Binks and Emperor Palpatine that are more popular than members of our government currently, and quite possibly the people running for president next time around. Yeah, you've got a problem. There is a distrust of what's going on in government. It seems like it's time for libertarians to be able to step up if they can. The question is, will they be able to? I don't know. I tend to think the jury's still out on this one, but interesting to hear different angles on it as we roll along. Now, we're going to continue along here. We've got an update on what's going on as far as farm reports and that kind of thing. We've got the afternoon news coming up at 5 o'clock. And as we continue, we will close out the program with you right here. So make sure that you stay with us on a Friday edition of the Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. Looking at 81 degrees, some sun, maybe a couple of clouds out there. 590 WKZO. And Jeremy Lawrence here with you as 4:52 as we roll along here. I'm going to continue talking with you about some of the different things going on, but we've got a caller who's on the line standing by, and that would be Roger in Kalamazoo. Hi, Roger. Welcome to the program. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday there, Jeremy. You know, when you listen to you talk about libertarians, and really, I think Ronald Reagan said this best. He said that the libertarian group, libertarian ideas, was the root of the Republican Party. And I think that's the reason why you have, you know, the Rand Paul, the Ron Pauls, that were part of the Republic, or are part of the Republican Party, because basically their ideas, the freedoms that they promote, fit right in with the Republican Party. And if I understand the libertarian stance, they're pretty much for any types of freedom that is instilled in the Constitution on the American people. They don't want to have the government come in and just ramrod things through and control everything. Do I have that correct?
That would be my understanding of it, yeah. And I'm not personally libertarian. I have a couple of leanings that way personally, but it's not something that I would label myself with. So I guess I would say I agree with you on that.
Well, the way I look at it is, if you look at it from that standpoint, yeah, the libertarian movement, their stance, is a pretty good one they have, and I think a lot of conservatives have, you know, those same ideas. But I look at, you know, you can go too far. To give you an example, you know, if libertarians believe in open borders, I believe that's gone too far. And Mr. Winky believes in open borders. He believes in not controlling the borders. I've been in the meetings where Mr. Winky was at, and when we talked about not giving amnesty to illegal aliens, he voted against it, and he said basically because he couldn't get Americans work, which I don't agree with, because I've got relatives that used to work for him. The point is that if you're, you know, you can call yourself a libertarian to run against a Republican, because that's the only way that you're going to win, which I believe that's what the reason why Mr. Winky is running as a libertarian, and then take advantage of illegals coming in where you can pay, where you pay them subpar wages. The other thing is that, you know, I've been to a lot of these meetings that Mr. Winky says he's been at as far as a Republican goes. And at no meeting did any Republican say anything against gay. Nothing. I believe that most Americans, like most Republicans, believe in a traditional marriage. Mm. Now, that doesn't make you a libertarian or not a libertarian. That's your idea of what marriage is. Mm-hmm. Now, nobody stops people from partaking in the gay lifestyle. I don't know of any Republican that does that.
Sure.
So in that aspect, that's libertarian. But as far as what your idea of marriage is, I don't think that's a libertarian, a Republican, a liberal, that type of thing.
Well, I think when it comes down to marriage, that's why I brought up a few minutes ago the pure libertarian view of, well, get the government out of the business of marriage altogether. That happens to be one of the views that I share, because I think that gets the government out of that. It simplifies everything.
Sure. You know, and if you look at it from the standpoint of, let people do what they want to, that's almost anarchy when you do something like that. So, you have to find this balance.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly believe, like Ronald Reagan said, that it comes down to the libertarian ideas are the root of the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
And when we stray from that, then, it hurts Americans, it hurts their freedoms. What's interesting is that in the state races, there's three, I would call them almost libertarian, that won their races in the primary.
Mm-hmm.
One in Cindy Gambert in Allegan County,
mm-hmm.
Todd Cursor, and I can't remember which county he's in, and Gary Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these people are true constitutional conservatives, and they believe in a limited government, and they are as close to as a libertarian as you can get.
Mm-hmm. So you think there's some similarities between libertarian and, say, Tea Party, or you think that's just too simple of a comparison?
I think for the most part, because if you take the social issues out,
mm-hmm.
okay, and that's really, the Tea Party was really started because of the bank bailouts,
sure.
back in 2009,
mm-hmm.
okay, and people wanted to start pigeonhole the Tea Party with all these social things. Well, it really wasn't. It was about fiscal responsibility and not rewarding people for basically, doing things incorrectly and forcing the American people to bail them out. That's really why the Tea Party got started.
Well, what that stood for was taxed enough already, basically. So that's, yeah.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, it doesn't matter. At the height of the Tea Party movement back in 2010, almost 30% of the people that either considered themselves Tea Partiers or sympathized with the Tea Party movement were Democrats. But they were fiscally conservative, and
mm-hmm.
that's what bound everybody together. Now, you're going to get a lot of Christians in there. You're going to get a lot of atheists in there, agnostics, people, those types of people, but they all have the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They believe in fiscal responsibility. Their social issues really didn't come into play until it was convenient for the left to make them out as demons.
To be extreme or whatever else. So, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and something that's interesting. As a Marine, I swore an oath to defend and uphold the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I served to allow somebody to burn the flag, even though I don't agree with it.
Sure,
I served to allow people to associate as they want to be gay in that gay lifestyle if they want to, even though I don't believe in that. And I think that's part of a libertarian's point of view. You let people do what they want, but as long as they're not hurting somebody else, okay,
mm-hmm.
and they're not forcing somebody else to pay for something that you don't believe in, such as abortion. I don't believe in abortion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I'm not going to, go out there and shoot somebody for having an abortion or some doctor for doing that.
Right, right.
I think that's more of a libertarian idea when you do that.
Sure. And, I think, Roger, you've got it right there. I just think that, there are times that those views do go a little too far to a direction, because they talk about legalize all drugs. I don't know that I'm on board with that either. So
neither am I.
So, Roger, I got to run. Thank you for your service. I appreciate you bringing up your military background, and feel free to call back again someday.
All right. Thank you.
All right. It's going to do it for the program. Have yourself a fantastic weekend. We'll get together again on Monday, do it all over again. Until then, we'll talk to you later. Have a good one.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO, Kalamazoo.